So welcome, bienvenue, and bienvenido to all our podcast listeners from around the globe. Today, I'm taking you to Brazil, a country I irrefutably fell in love with when I visited for the first time in 2013. And perhaps that's not so original of me, but how can you not fall in love with the magical sceneries of Rio de Janeiro, its praias, Copacabana, Ipanema, its Corcovado, and most importantly, its people, seu povo. So I'm Sandra Perroquin. In my role as Secretary General for the Montreal Group, a forum of SME-focused state-owned development banks, also a not-for-profit organization, I have the honor of having a virtual coffee with Gustavo Montezano, President and CEO of BNDES, the Brazilian Development Bank. BNDES, along with its counterparts from Mexico, Canada, France, China, India, and Russia, was a founding member of the Montreal Group back in 2012. Today, I'm connecting from Montreal, Canada, whereas Mr. Montezano is with us from Rio de Janeiro, correct?
Correct.
Gustavo, thank you for taking the time to be our interviewee today. This discussion is taking place within the 2021 podcast series of interviews with CEOs of our member banks. So let me first share some highlights about our guest. Gustavo, you hold a master's degree in economics and have graduated in mechanical and automotive engineering. You also started your career as a private equity analyst in Rio de Janeiro and continued your career in London as chief operating officer of, I hope I say this right, Engelhardt Commodities Trading Partners. You were most recently deputy a special secretary of the Ministry of Economy back in Brazil, prior to stepping in your current role as president and CEO of BNDES. Parabéns, congratulations. And finally, before we actually hear from you, allow me a few extra words to position BNDES, the National Bank for Economic and Social Development. The stated goal is to provide long-term financing for actions that contribute to the country's development. Among the objectives of BNDES are the strengthening of the capital structure of private companies, the development of capital markets, the trading of machines and equipment, and the financing of exports. So a full plate. Gustavo, BNDES is the second largest development bank in the world after the Chinese Development Bank. Allow me to ask you, how did your life change in 2019 when you accepted to become the president and CEO of BNDES?
Hello, Sandra. Firstly, I would like to thank the Montreal Group for the invitation for this podcast and our virtual coffee, as you said. When I joined BNDES in mid-2019, I would say that the biggest change was having a very popular public function in Brazil. So BNDES is very well recognized in Brazil, both in the public sector and also in the financial sector. So becoming a kind of public figure kind of changes your day by day, changes the way you appear in public, the way media deals with yourself. So I would say that the public face or the relationship or image perspective of a public bank CEO, I would say that was the most remarkable change. I would notice it.
Thank you. What could be an impactful area of change you would like to have time to tackle as president and CEO of BNDES before the end of your term? I know that's a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. I would say that is probably the most important one for any CEO, Sandra. And I would say that firstly, I think you are real privileged to be heading or working at DFIs, development banks, as of today. It's really a changing, a edge moment for our industry, not only in Brazil, but worldwide. And trying to summarize the legacy or the main remarks, as you mentioned, of our management in BNDES, I would say is that to have the bank, to have the shareholder, to have the board of the bank, the employees, the executive, all of us focus on the non-financial metrics. Focus at the last mile, the people that really does matter, the most needed people in Brazil. Focus on the environmental. Of course, keeping financial sustainability. Of course, keeping risk discipline. Of course, all the financial metrics, they're relevant, they're critical, but they are as important as the non-financial ones, as we can summarize in the social and environmental ones. So I would like that my legacy is that we'll have the full ecosystem of BNDES valuing the non-financial goals, acting for the non-financial goals, and sharing that with Brazilian society. I know it's a deep change for a 3.5 years tenure of my mandate, but I think it's doable. Society is going over a big change, and we are all ready and willing for that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So a big hope for perhaps the non-financial support to also take a greater place in the area of offerings for BNDES. That's a great segue for the other question I have for you. Brazil is the largest country of Latin America with a population of over 210 million. So we could say a very fertile land for a colorful mosaic of social need. BNDES is not only a development bank, but also a sustainable bank. Could you share how BNDES works toward this priority of supporting sustainable goals for the country?
Yeah, of course. And I think that's critical for BNDES, but mainly for Brazil. Brazil, as you said, we are 200 million plus people into a very vibrant democracy here. We have a very creative and deep financial market we call the Brazilian Wall Street. And we also have the largest natural capital in the world. People know that as the Amazon, but it's kind of more than the Amazon itself for the whole country. So that's why Brazil is already known by agro powerhouse. We're showing the world the potential of this agro powerhouse. But we're also a green powerhouse or sustainable powerhouse. So being a development bank in this country where financial markets are vibrant and where we have the largest natural capital in the world, in the moment where we are all running through this green technology marathon, I would say, or rush, we have in our mission to play a leading role on that new framework. It's about innovation, it's about collaboration, it's about purpose, and it's a critical agenda for BNDES, and that's our mission since we are Brazilian by nature.
And let me add another sub-question to this. If we look at the needs of micro, small, and medium enterprises in Brazil, do you feel that they're at the stage where they can afford or they have to worry about what could be their transition towards a greener economy, or is it not yet perceived as an existing demand from their side to be supported into this transition?
I would say that yes, it's already being perceived. When we think about supplier, clients, regulators, even the central bank in Brazil, we are all moving to the same goal of being a globally sustainable and reaching the net zero by 2050. So SMEs, they are not outside of this environment. But I would say, Sandro, that this is a big opportunity because in the world as of today, we have this new trend of green finance, of sustainability, of ESG on one hand. On the other hand, the evolution, the speed of technology, new inventions, they're maybe faster than we even could imagine. So it's a very proper environment for innovations, for new ventures. And that's where the SMEs, they really can have an advantage because they are much quicker, much faster than big boys to adapt. So if you look at this new framework, not changing framework, both on the technology side, social side, and also the regulatory mindset on the sustainability perspective, it's a very, very proper moment for innovations and for new ventures. On this hand, the SMEs that take this as an advantage and not just as a threat, they could be benefiting as well.
And you touch on the important piece of technology here. And I think this is obvious to everyone, probably even more in the context of, I'm going to go ahead and call it post-COVID, although we are still in it, technology is so important, whether you are a small, medium, or large company. Is B&S doing anything to ensure that an optimal amount of Brazilian SMEs are adopting new technologies?
Yeah, sure, Sandra. And it's always good to repeat and reinforce that when we mention technology, we're not speaking about rocket science, right? We're just speaking about simple adoption of long data or sometimes already outdated technology. And let me give you a simple example. Last week, I was in the far west side of the Amazon, in the state of Acre. I was really in the middle of the forest with the ribeirinhos, we call people that live almost all over the river on their palafitas. And I was paying the hostel with Pix, so it's the Brazilian mobile payment system. They were connected to the internet. So it's, again, simple things that for us that live in the city, it's already normal day-by-day life. But it's when you look at the distant living population, it's a complete revolution, getting internet access, getting digital money there. And we as a public development bank, we're pushing this agenda, both at putting infrastructure to serve those regions and also with financing, with proper credit, so they can reskill their employees or buy intangible assets, which generally technology is. And we are now financing those intangible assets as an investment, such as we finance machines or plants or land, whatever. It's we're now looking at that as an asset. It doesn't matter if it's virtual or intangible or physical ones.
And let me ask, just for the sake of the audience, for B&S, I know that the modus operandi for your development bank is mainly based on delivering loans or non-financial services through the network of provincial or regional banks or other kind of organizations. Is it mainly this way, or do you also offer a series of services directly to the SMEs?
We basically serve the SMEs on an indirect approach on lending. We are a wholesale bank. We think as of today that that's the best strategy for B&S. We don't intend at this point in time to have a retail network or to be competing by the last mile client, one by one. And why do we think it's a good strategy for us as of today? Because we think that our neutrality, and I think it's a key word, our neutrality in the SME market is an advantage. At the end of the day, we don't care who be the lender. We don't care who holds the client. We want more competition in Brazil. We want more players offering different products to the clients. And we are kind of back on the backstage, working for everyone, putting our capital, putting our funding available, and also putting our non-financial service available for those that are increasing competition and deepening the credit penetration. And we are basically the only one playing this function in Brazil. So since you are the only one, we think it's valuable, and we like to keep our neutral presence instead of going to the red markets of retail competition.
Right. And just maybe for my personal understanding, when you refer to the area of non-financial offering from B&S, is it also an indirect model? So would we say that you're also partnering with organizations that are not necessarily banks, but do focus on non-financial support to SMEs?
Correct. We have a kind of digital lending platform where lenders and borrowers, they can go there and they can trade through our channel, through our brand. And we also support through many partnerships we have in Brazil, upgrading, reskilling consultants, for example, for the SME clients. One good example that I like to say is our accelerator programs for startups. We just launched that 1 month ago. And this year, we're going to accelerate, again, with partnerships, with other assistants, 135 startups in Brazil. all of them focus on social and environmental industries or GovTech. So that's a kind of a good example, I like to say, how can we be helpful to the SMEs, sometimes not necessarily through financial channel.
Oh, wow, this is great. I'll make sure to connect with your team to know more about this accelerator program. Gustavo, if we look at the context of COVID-19, the role and mandate of BNDES, has your vision changed as it relates to what that mandate should be? Is there a pivot?
I would say that COVID crisis that started in Brazil in March 2020, actually, it reinforced the strategy we're pushing the bank since 2019. It was, of course, it's a very sad moment. It's a tough moment for everyone. But the good side of this is that since 2019, we've been preparing the bank to focus on this approach. When I say focus on this approach, it means about flexibility. It means about being innovative, and it means about thinking at the last mile, thinking of the client, especially the SMEs one. And when I look backwards and we see what BNDES and also the Brazilian government and Brazilian society, what we did in the crisis in order to support the SME, I think you should be very proud of. Of course, it's a sad moment. Of course, it's a challenging situation for the entrepreneur. But what we did on supporting the payments of salaries, on supporting credit, on postponing our taxes and having a very booming economy nowadays in Brazil, and a large chunk of the SMEs, they are already operating, I think we did a quite decent job. And it was something almost unthinkable for BNDES if you go 3-4 years ahead. The bank was deeply focused on the large corporates, and we still have a relevant presence on large corporates. But having a strong presence and innovation and focus on the SME was critical for the success we did during the crisis, and we are very proud of that.
Excellent. Congratulations. Yes, and I think for most countries, the SMEs are really the core of the economy. They represent more than 90% of all of the countries around the table, at least of the Montreal Group. So it's important to have a strong focus with them. BNDES is active in the international scene, namely as a member of the Montreal Group with the other SME-focused state banks, but also, to name another one, with BRICS, the powerful grouping of the world's leading emerging market economies that are Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. How does it remain important for BNDES to keep nurturing these memberships, relationships with foreign countries and foreign counterparts?
For us, this kind of membership, such as the Montreal Group, as you said, it's really, really important. Let me explain why. If you think of Brazil as an economy and as a country, we still have a closed economy. Our global trade is still low compared to our GDP, and it's very concentrated on commodities. If you think as our society is still a kind of closed society, if you think on a global landscape, and we are more and more, little by little, opening up our country. Again, both on the political and social mindset, and also on the trading flows, the trade levels against GDP. Having said that, it's very important for us that we stay connected. And these associations, they are very, very relevant for us to understand what's going on outside of Brazil, what are the needs and what are the opportunities. And I wish and I hope that more and more our country is more open for business, has increased trading size with international peers, and especially that our social and our cultural mindset also turns more for a global view. But it's a generation process. It's not going to happen overnight. That's why having these exchange environments with top-tier peers and top-notch players, it's very important for us to bring new ideas and new visions for our country.
That's a segue for the other question. Any recommendations for leaders like yourself who head institutions that can strengthen sustainable and inclusive finance, a topic, as you know, of great interest for the Montreal Group members.
Yes, and what I like to say at BNDES for my colleagues here and my board members is that we need to have a clear purpose in our institution, right? And remembering and ensuring that's lending, that's credit, is not the reason of existence of any financial institution. The lending, the credit, it's a way, it's a tool. It's not an end by itself. We are here in Brazil to have, I would say, that a profitable, and so we can monetize in a sustainable way our natural capital. We're here to reduce the social gaps we have in Brazil. We're here to increase the GDP and the growth potential of our country. That's our goal. That's our mission. That's our purpose. Having credit, using guarantees, preparing projects, or doing advocacy in the Congress, all those tools, all those divisions, they are just a way for an end. And I think that looking backwards and the culture that I grew up, at least in the financial market, we mix it a little bit. The first step or the first instrument as the purpose, as the reason of existence of any financial institution. And I think by switching the focus, switching our mission, switching our goal, we'll turn ourselves much more productive as institutions. And more important than that, our institutions will be ensuring that they have perpetuity and will be protected against social change, will be protected against technology evolutions, and will be protected against any regulatory new frameworks that we cannot maybe foresee today. So anchoring our stakeholders, shareholders, employees, all of us on the last mile mission of the bank, which really the citizen, the environment, and the country. And again, financial instruments, they are just a tool, just a path for an end.
Excellent. I think we have time for one last kind of a question. Any message to the entrepreneurs and micro, small, and medium enterprises in the world looking to thrive in the new world of the post-COVID?
I would say that enjoy the moment, because the levels, the speed and level of change that we have ahead of us, both social change, I mean, what just happened in the COVID? What will be the outcome? What will be the social new ethics, the social new dynamics that we're going to face in 2, 3, 4 years? To be honest, no one knows. It's a global experiment. What will be the new technology that we'll be adopting in 5, 10 years? To be honest, no one knows. How be the environmental response? How be the environmental ethics? How be the environmental pricing somehow in 5, 10 years? To be honest, no one knows. So if you think as an entrepreneur, if you think as an SME that can move fast, it can be really an advantage. So see that new world move that changes fast as really an opportunity where fast movers that can deal with big players, not necessarily as suppliers or clients, but they can be partners, they can JVs, they can co-invest, they can do R&D together, is really a big opportunity for those small bees. Sometimes they can really be the elephant, and more that will be, that may be the truth.
So to be agile is probably a right way to say, or that you could be part of those that can scale. That makes sense. On this note, Gustavo, muito obrigada. I'm going to try a bit of Portuguese. Tem sido café virtual saboroso. Thank you very much. And for sure, let's stay connected.
Merci beaucoup, Sandra. It was my pleasure to be here. And thanks for the Montreal Group for the invitation, also for the work you've been doing. For us, it's a pleasure to be partners. And as you said, SME is probably the most important reason of existence of our banks. So congrats you for focus on and helping our heroes.
Merci à vous. Au plaisir.